I'd like to ask Mark Moose to open up with prayer here today, if you don't mind, Mark.
Thank you, Father Yahweh, for bringing us all here today to study your word. We ask your blessing over Bill's teaching as Rabbi Clausen gives us the lesson today. We ask your blessing over those who are here and those of us who couldn't be here, especially those who are having any kind of health or personal issues that would keep them from attending the meeting. We ask that that be resolved in your holy name so that they can become further a part of the group again. Father Yahweh, we thank you for everything that you've done for us this week, and we ask your forgiveness for all of our shortcomings. In Yeshua's precious name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
You know, it's really a great privilege for myself and for Mark to try to take over this little congregation. And nobody is going to be able to fill your dad's or his husband's Craig shoes because they were too big. They were not size 12. They were not 13, 15. They were humongous. And let me tell you, the man was unique. He was one of a kind.
He knew his Bible inside out.
Oh my God.
He did.
I tell people that all you have to do is say two words and ask where it is in the Bible, and Craig could tell you like that.
That's right.
What a gift.
That's right.
And what a gift for love.
What a gift for love.
And he would call us when we were in Illinois, check on us, and
there's no doubt about it. It is. It's those are tears of joy. Because
this is the first time I've been here in 2 months.
Yes.
So I'm kind of facing it.
It's
okay. We'll be facing it for a long time.
We do. At each meeting, we're going to be thinking about him, missing him, and but in the meantime, we will carry on.
Yes.
We will push on. I'm glad to see John LeBlue come in. Praise God. How's my truck running? Okay. Good deal. He's having a little trouble with his vehicle, so at the end of our meeting today, we'll take prayer requests. And you know, that's one of the primary things that we meet together for, is not to hear me talk or Mark expound on something. We do intend, and we will stay in the scriptures, the holy scriptures, with our Father Yahweh and his precious son Yeshua's word. We know that that is the primary thing in our life. And I want to urge each one of you, and I like the opportunity to bring something and to teach. Just we're going to share this kind of thing between Mark and I. And I want to say, I want to ask your help in regards to, in the future, telling us or asking us what you would like to further study, and a subject that we may want to get into in deeper, in a little more depth than generally if we have time for 45 minutes, an hour here. It's not much time because we're going to do all kinds of things. We're going to have a little communion here at the end of this meeting. And communion, in my estimation, is critical. It's sharing, and it's getting in the right attitude, having the right attitude, because when we leave here, we don't just close our Bibles and wait until next week. I want to urge you guys to get into your Word and to read, to do word studies. Whatever it takes. If you have a question about something, write it down. And you certainly may call me or Mark at any time during the week. We're open to that for sure. And we would like to have a cup of coffee with you, just talk on the telephone, whatever it might be. But we want to keep a good close family relationship here, because we're all children of God. We're all His heirs. Craig brought us together, and Craig wanted us to stay together. He told Mark and I, he said, you know, I don't know if he had a premonition about death or what, but he said that I want you guys to carry on and to feed my flock. And that's what Jesus said, didn't he? He said, yeah. Feed my flock. And you guys, I want you guys to be hungry. I want you guys, like me, I love the opportunity to teach something because it helps me study. It helps me get into the Word. And that's what we all need. We all need to get into that Word. And if we don't understand something, that's the time to ask questions. And so at any time when Mark or I are giving some information to you and sharing what we think is important, at least in our lives, we want you to interrupt us, question us, ask whatever. And I'm not saying, I will admit that I do not have the memory that Craig Emsweller had of the Word. That man, like you said, you give him a key word and he's on it. He say, well, that's in such and such, and that's where it is. And then, well, that was one of the former prophecies, and then it's going to be a latter prophecy here pretty soon. And you know, I mean, he knew like Porphy said, and exactly what was going on. And so, without any further information here about that, just the general information is what we're going to do. We're also open at any time for baptisms, marriages. I don't want to talk about any divorces or anything like that, or anything final. And we'll hope that we don't have any other people that would suddenly decide that they're going to go to sleep for a while. But anyways, who knows? We'll take as it comes along. But today, my message is going to concentrate on a little word called trust. And I'm going to recommend that we all look further into this during this coming week. And to look up what I am going to talk about. If you have any kind of, I've got a whole lot of scripture, and I don't want to go too fast, and I've got more, actually, than I can use in one little session. So I'll probably take this in a couple of different sessions. But I want to talk about this word trust and what it means to trust our Lord Yahweh and His Son, Yeshua. It's a little word, but it's got such a big meaning, and it means so much. If you grab a hold of it, and you look into it, and you really grasp the meaning, and then the most important part is doing it, is actually doing something about it. We can all trust. We know what trust means to the general public, but it's not the same. A trust, when we talk about it in spiritual terms, when we're talking about it in biblical terms, when we're talking about trusting the Holy Father, it's a lot different than trusting your local police officer or your local mayor, or even somebody in your family. We know that that's where we learn about trust. We should be learning about trust in our family, and most of us now are past that age where we are relying on our parents. Most of us are older, and we are the ones that the children are going to be asking us. We're going to be responsible. We're going to have to teach these young people, And I'm not just saying children, because when we say children, God meant us as well. I mean that we want to know exactly what he's talking about, and I want to break this little talk down to six different areas. And I'll just give them to you really at first, and then I'm going to start concentrating on each part of this situation. First of all, I want to define trust. Second, who should we trust? Third, why should we trust him? Fourth, do we believe the scriptures that tell us about his character and his promises? So this is important here. Do we believe the scriptures? Number five, how do we put his trust into action? What is our response to his trust? And then lastly, what is our primary obligation and responsibility? How should we handle this trust? What should we do about it? So that's the six areas that we're going to talk about. And at any time you have a question, just raise your hand and we'll talk about it. But the first thing is a definition of trust. And you can look it up in the dictionary, and you know that Webster says, well, it's to place one's confidence. Hello, Jen. Come on in. Welcome. Come on over and have a seat. Glad to see you. We're talking about trust today. I'm going to have a little talk about trust. And Webster says, trust is to place one's confidence in a certain authority or person or group of persons. And a lot of times, most people, when we're not talking spiritually, we're talking politically or civilly, like civil affairs, such as I mentioned, by trust you, what kind of trust do you have in your elected officials? Well, we don't have to worry so much about that, because we don't have to worry about, we know that the trust that we're talking about is a trust in Yahweh, Father Yahweh, God, and the scriptures, the holy scriptures. We're not talking about our God, the God of Islam, but Allah. We're not talking about any of the other gods, the Buddha and the Hare Krishna and whatever else there is. We're concentrating, and I think everybody here will agree that the Holy Scripture is our God Yahweh, and he's in the Holy Scriptures. He's not in the Quran. The Quran says, oh, yeah, we have a Jesus. And we're not going to get into that argument and talk about that, but we will. That's one of the things we have to know about. We want to be familiar with what Allah is trying to talk about, so that we can determine that it's false. Because when we get down to the brass tacks here, we're talking about two masters. Two masters we have to choose between. And we're choosing between the God of the Holy Scriptures, Yahweh, and then we are talking about the other master, who is Satan. And Satan will appear as a god of anything. You know, he's a great deceptor, disguiser. And he is going to, and he, I believe, embodies Allah. But that's a different matter, and we may want to look into that later on. Mark is very familiar with the Islamic religion, having had people from that faith live with him. He lived with them at one time and lived in the neighborhood and all this kind of thing. So, and he's done a great deal of study about that. So that may be something, Mark, in the future that we might want to talk about. One thing that I want to bring forward, and that is the fact that we do not serve a God of confusion.
Right.
That is the key. Our God has a character that is impeccable. It's a character that is filled with love. Love, love, love. And also, he's filled with a knowledge and wisdom that we all need. And he is such a beautiful teacher. And he teaches, he's taught each one of you. There's nobody here that's just a very, what I might be called a beginner. We've all had associations with different kinds of religious groups. And we know that there are several out there that are very, what's the word I want to use? They're insulated. They don't want you to listen to anybody else. They're going to give you their viewpoint, and it's going to be the only thing that you ever need. And you've got to be careful. You've got to know whether that particular group or person that is advocating that is coming out of the scriptures or if he's coming out of something else.
Bill?
Yes?
Are you talking about regular denominations that claim to be followers of Christ? Or are you talking about a sect or cult?
Well, I'm talking primarily about what we would call cults. Okay. In other words, a different Jesus.
Okay.
But I will also say that my particular experience with denominations is pretty complete, and it's pretty I've been introduced to just about each one. I grew up in the Methodist faith, or the whatever little church, whatever they want to call themselves. And I've been to several others, and it doesn't make any difference which one we're talking about. But the point is, we as a home church, we as a group of Christians that are, we don't have any special kind of agenda. We meet in a home. We know why we're meeting together. We know who our God is. We know what he says, and we got to keep studying that. We got to know that backwards and forwards, inside and out. But we don't have to insulate ourselves to a point where we don't get out into the world. We do have to get out into the world. And that's we have to get out. Well, we have to love our neighbors. And that's a hard thing to do.
Certain ones in particular.
Which
side of the neighbors we're talking about?
Well, you all have neighbors that can be cantankerous or have a different idea than you do, and that they just reject anything that you want to tell them about Jesus. I mean, don't talk to me about religion. And it's the same thing even with family members. Sometimes you have a problem with a family member.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know how it is. And so we can't just hit them with a sledgehammer. But we have to stand up for what we know is true. We can't go along with a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this and, oh yeah, well, maybe I'll try a little bit of that and maybe I'll be covered. Well, you know, like they say in a wartime situation, in a battlefield, there are no atheists. And I knew a guy in Vietnam that had four different kinds of necklaces and rings and stuff from four different religions and four different gods. And he prayed to all these gods.
We'll be covered, right?
And he said, yeah, he said, now, if one can't do it, this other one can. And if this guy can't do it, maybe he can do part of it. Well, we don't have to worry about that, do we? We know the character of our God.
He's one God. Only one God.
We know what he can do, and there is nothing that he can't do. There's nothing that he cannot take care of and solve in this world, and in, well, with the stars, with the planets, with the oceans, with the earth, and with people. I mean, you've got these birds, and he even says, you know, he knows the amount of feathers on a, and the number of hair on the mm-hmm. dog and all of this kind of thing. And you know that his primary person that he loves is you and me. It's me and my wife, each one in this room. And nobody is any better than the other. It doesn't make any difference if you've got a degree from Biola or Dallas Theological Seminary. Hey, wonderful. I'm glad, because probably that person that has those kind of degrees he's submitted. I'm hoping that he is in submission to God, our God, Yahweh. And I'm praying that he will use the sacred name. His sacred name is so important to him. He wants to hear it. He wants you guys, he wants every one of us to be in deep communion with him. And we're getting a little off this thing, but trust. I want you to look in 2 Timothy. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16. Whoever gets to it, go ahead and read it.
Right after 1 Timothy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's on page 2191.
2 Timothy what? Bill?
It's 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's see what that says.
Oh, yeah. Every scripture Yahweh breathed is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of Yahweh may be complete, furnished completely to every good work.
That's a key scripture. There are several others. We could go on down. I looked into Strong's book today. And, I mean, there are 25, 35 different references, you know, talking about trusting God and Scripture. But as I said, the main thing that we have to be careful about is Satan disguising himself as a pseudo-God. He is a God to many people, not only to just the all the cults, but there are several things that are even beyond a cult, in my estimation. And Satan has the ability, but he doesn't have the authority that our God has. He is not omnipresent. Satan does not have, apparently he doesn't have, and I'm not I'm not sure where in the Bible this may be. If anybody knows, well, I'd like to know. He does not have the foreknowledge that Father Yahweh has. He knows the Bible backwards and forwards. And that's why we have to be very careful when we are discussing Satan and we're talking about any kind of a cult, we're talking about any kind of a pseudo-religion that talks about authority and what the man's character may be. We know that in that little 2 Timothy there, they talked about righteousness, training in righteousness. Now, anybody that has any knowledge or knows anything about Satan knows that he is far from being righteous. His main thrust in this world, and by the way, he is controlling this world. He is the master of this world, of this earth, and the world that we're living in right now. And we have got to be on our toes. We've got to be careful. That's why we have to make sure our bodies are what? They are a temple. Now, what does that mean to you guys? It should mean that we are housing, we are embodying the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is directing, guiding, training, working with you day in and day out, nighttime as well. And that we are protected. That doesn't mean that we're not going to go through any kind of a trial, tribulation, whatever. I mean, you know, we just went through a terrible one. But we don't have to look at it as a negative thing. It's not a negative thing. It's hard on the widow. It's hard on the children. Because he was such a stand-up kind of a guy. And he was always there. But remember, the Holy Spirit is always here too. That's the important thing. The Holy Spirit was the thing that made Craig wonderful. The Holy Spirit is what's going to make you guys wonderful. LeBlu and I had a little talk just recently about the difference between self-esteem and having an ego. Okay? That's a very interesting subject. And we could develop that. And that's a good word study for you guys to think about. But my main reason for bringing that up is the fact that, hey, we don't go around in this world feeling like a little puppy dog. You get kicked around? No. Nobody can kick us around. They may kick us. They may knock us down. They may put us flat on our back, as several people have been with, such as my wife, such as Jan. There's other people in this room that have had physical disability, that have had virus, had all kinds of pain, that have nearly killed them. But look at them now. And I don't think they never had, I don't think Lana ever had any. Did you ever have a doubt?
That was a beautiful thing. Day after day, I just knew I was going to be fine. I never had a doubt. I was being so uplifted in prayer, I think it just soaked my spirit. And whoever prayed for me, I thank you, because I'm sure the doctors and nurses were thinking, I should.
She's a goner.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, they never say that exactly. And the same thing with you, Jan. They didn't know what was.
I had my moments.
Yes.
You know, I did confess. I had a couple moments where I said, Mark, I'm not going to get over this.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I couldn't hear.
I totally
I'll never
that.
Hear again.
Yeah.
But he was there along with all the friends.
That's right.
To bring me up.
Praise God.
And I just wrote a bunch of beautiful thank you cards for all the friends that took care of me.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I basically said, when God brings you down, he brings angels.
That's right.
To lift you up. You know.
That's right. Hey, we are all going to get knocked down.
Mm-hmm.
That's a promise of Satan. But the promise that we could stand by is the fact that we know that we're going to get back up. We know that nothing can defeat the Holy Spirit, the power that we have in us. We're all going to grow old. I'm getting weaker as the days go by. I'll tell you the truth. You know, I can't run like I used to. I can't jump. I can't do this. I can't...
Show us.
You know how it is. That, and you all guys are... You guys know what I'm talking about. But that's the season. That are seasons, and it's prophecy. We know that we're going to go through that. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're going to triumph, and then we're going to go to sleep. That's all there is to it. And then, we have got to leave a legacy. That's our responsibility. That's part of the thing that I want to talk about a little bit later here, about what is our obligation? What are we supposed to be doing? Are we just supposed to be, well, we'll read my little Bible here for 15, 20 minutes today, then I'll shut her up, and then I got, well, let's see, what have I got to do? Well, I've got to make sure, I got to make sure that my tractor is running good, and I don't care about nothing else going on in this world. Well, I'm not saying that that's wrong. But I'm saying that Yahweh and Yeshua want us to do more. They want us to continue. This love that we felt from Craig's embodiment was beautiful. And in a little letter that a friend of theirs sent to Porphy and to the family, he talks about carrying on and nurturing this love and doing this same kind of thing with your family and your friends. So that's where it's at. We don't have the power individually to convert or to change anybody's mind. We are going to come up against people, and Mark knows better than probably most of us, Mark as well, this Mark, that people are going to, they're going to be ticked off, they're going to argue with you, they're going to walk out, they're going to turn their back, they're going to say, I don't want to ever see you again, and all this kind of thing. Because you're talking about Yahweh and Yeshua. Well, I say keep talking, but don't feel defeated when they do that kind of thing, when you have that reaction, because that is the normal reaction. That's Satan reacting to that whole thing, and Satan's demons and all the rest. They don't want to hear that. They don't want anybody to hear it. But remember that it's not you that has the power to do anything. We're weak. But by the same token, don't feel that you are insignificant, and don't feel that you don't have some kind of a influence it's unspeakable, and many times you'll never even know what's happened with a certain individual. And I speak about loving your neighbor. I have a neighbor who I've been trying to love for 18 years, and by all means, by all outward appearances, I probably am just another guy, a pleasant guy next door and this and that. But I really don't know what he really will feel in his spirit. We don't know. And that spirit is going to be affected by the Holy Spirit if it's in us. That spirit is going to reach out to his spirit. And so, don't give up. And this self-esteem thing is critical. If we feel like we're defeated, if we feel like we're insignificant, if we feel like we're going to get browbeat every time we turn around and every time we mention something, then what happens? We sort of clam up. And we say, maybe I better not talk about that anymore. And sometimes it's okay to clam up for a little bit. Let things slide just a little bit. But don't ever give up. And knowing the character of God, as we said here, knowing that he is the all-powerful God in this universe, we know that his power is going to triumph. We know by reading Revelation. We know by reading the prophecies. And that's a good subject to talk about sometime in the future, is his prophecies. We can go through all his prophecies, and knowing that his prophecies have been fulfilled, are being fulfilled today, and will be fulfilled by the end. So, now, we talked about the trust. We know who we're trusting. I said the second thing was, who should we trust? And that we're talking about the two masters. And I want to make sure, who demands our trust? And we're talking about, let's look at Psalm. Who has Psalm 33:4? Somebody got that for me? Go ahead, Mark. You got it?
And out of the New English Translation, it says, "For the Lord's decrees are just, and everything he does is fair."
That's part of it, yes. And that's his character. He is a fair and trustworthy. What's that thing, Lana, that verse about his character, about being a just God, about, do you remember which one I'm talking about? Is it in my? I'm not sure.
Give me a little more.
Well,
Craig here. You know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
What we've got to be careful about is when we're talking about fair gods, is that I mentioned that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. We know who the light is. We know further on, I'm going to talk about why should we trust him. It's because, you know, he is the truth. So you talk about being fair. He is the truth. That's a very important thing. He's the true vine. He's the true bread. He's the true shepherd. He's the true light. And I've got scriptures on that. But I just want to make sure that you guys understand that Satan, and it's in Isaiah, disguises himself as an angel of light. And he's going to try to fool you each and every day. Every day he's going to hit you. He's going to attack. We've got to have our defenses. We know in Ephesians there's the armor that we have, that God has provided for us. We're going to be hit with the false apostles. Apostles. False apostles. You know, there's a church even. It's called what is it called?
Apostolic?
Yeah, apostolic. Okay, it's the apostolic church. And there's deceitful works. Workers that are going to be attacking us. 2 Corinthians 11:12. Who's got that? Who wants to look up 2 Corinthians 11, 12? I'm talking about defense here, guys. I'm talking about knowing the difference between the two masters, as they are referred to. Now, there's only one master. There is the Almighty Yahweh, and then there is the mighty Yeshua. 2 Corinthians 11, 12. Has any somebody got that?
In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his sin. Is that the one?
Yes, that's part of it. That's part of it.
Chapter 11?
Chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Or wait a minute. Maybe that's I think it's 11. 11, 12. What was that again? Something about Satan. It's about something. What is it? What did it say about it?
In order that Satan might not outwit us, we are not unaware of his sin.
Okay.
13 and 14.
It's an awareness. Yes, go on with that, Mark.
For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
13
and 14.
It goes on. Yeah, I didn't put the dash. It was
chapter
more.
Chapter 11.
Yes, right. Chapter
11. Chapter 11.
We're all ones who wanted to read.
You're almost there. We'll get there. We'll hear you read.
I know my English is not great, but I can read.
15 is pretty good, too.
You're right. You're right about that. I should have told you to read a little bit further on.
Yeah, it's 11. Keep going.
12, 13,
14. Oh, yeah.
Okay, now go down. 13 and 14, basically.
12, 13, and 14,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like someone to read me Isaiah 45. Look into Isaiah 45, starting with verse 5.
I'll read it.
Yes, go ahead, Jennifer. Okay.
You want the Living Bible?
Okay.
Okay. I am Yahweh, there is no other. I will strengthen you and send you out to victory. Even though you don't know me, and all the world from east to west will know there is no other God. I am Yahweh, and there is no one else. I alone am God. I kept going. Do you want to hear the next verse?
Yes.
I form the light, and I make the dark. I send good times and bad. I, Yahweh, am he who does these things.
There it is. Do we believe the scriptures? Yes. Do we believe the scriptures? Or do we believe something that we see in some kind of a internet thing? I'm telling you guys, the internet can be good, but it can be bad. It can be deceiving. We can get mixed up because we don't know who that is writing that thing. What is the authority? What is their authority?
Yeah.
What is their motive?
What is their motive?
The idea that the rat, I keep going back to the rat poison, is 98% food.
Mm. There you go.
That's
a good one. That's a beautiful analogy.
You're not going to fool the rat by giving it 100% poison, but you can definitely fool the rat by giving it 98% food that's going to kill him.
What a beautiful idea there, you see. They all appear like they are truthful. They are coming from the scripture that they love God, but there's just a little bit. There's maybe one little line there. And sometimes you even have to read between the lines.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I remember we had a Young Life minister that taught the kids a song about a wax banana.
Yes.
And the idea was that Satan makes these things that are bad for you look luscious. And he, you know, he had a bowl of wax fruit, you know, and it was beautiful. He said, if there's no blemish on it, it always stays fresh and lovely, and that's the way sin looks. And so you're encouraged to give it a try, and then you get hooked on it. He said, but the real thing will nourish your body and keep you alive. And he had a song, which I don't remember, but I always remember that analogy, that a wax banana, watch out for it, because Satan will always dangle something that's so perfect and lovely in front of you, but look behind it.
Yeah. I've got a quick little song I want to play for you.
Did you put it in?
Where did I put it in?
No, I got it here.
Oh, well, okay.
That's why it's not put in.
Yeah, no way. I thought you left it in.
No,
okay.
What's
headed up there for us? Number 7?
Okay. Ah, the wonders of modern technology.
Yes.
This is Charlie Daniels, and you're praying to the wrong God, and I hope I've got it set up right, okay?
That's good.
I'm going to interject real quick. As usual, because of copyright restrictions, the song that you just heard isn't there on the internet. There's a link to the lyrics for those who want to understand what Bill's about to talk about.
Yes. Okay. All right. Exodus 4:11. Does anybody have any questions about the wrong God? I think we're pretty much online here as to who the right God is and who the wrong God is.
It's like trying to have your foot in both worlds.
No, yeah. You cannot do a little bit of this and a little bit of that and expect to please Him.
Can't follow God and mammon.
4:11.
The part I want to go there, 4:12. Now go out. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say.
Yeah.
We're talking about to your neighbor, to your family. And I'm talking about anybody that wants to bring a message. If we get it out of the Word and we're talking about the sacred, holy God, Yahweh, and what He can do and what He can't do, the Lord can do it all. There are several verses I can give you, verse after verse, about controlling. He has control of everything. Although Satan will be, you know, he's loose in this world. And until he is captured, we are just going to have to rely on that Holy Spirit. We're just going to have to fight it. Now, why should we trust Him? I talked a little bit about that. Because primarily, and look in Ephesians 1, He is the truth. Ephesians 1, starting with verse 11.
All right,
You got
it.
That?
Yes.
What? How does it go?
In Him, in Yahweh, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will.
That's right. Now, there brings a real important thing that we've got to realize. It's a battle between our will and His will. His will has to be supreme. We have got to give up this egocentric idea of trying to be a little God. There's many of these religions and groups that will say, hey, you're just a little God. So you can do whatever you want. And you've got the power to do this, you've got the power to do that, and let it be. Well, we know that that is false. We are not deified, are we? So it's going to be a battle. It's always a battle. And how do we know God's will? God's will is in the Word. We just have to read the Bible. I don't care what book you open up. What scripture? there's going to be a reference to what he is doing. And if he does it, it's fine. And that's what we should be doing. We should be reaching out. The true bread. We're going to have a little communion here. What time is it? Pretty quick. I'm going to finish this particular group. Why should we trust him? Who he is. Then we're going to have our communion. And then I would like to finish this next week, if that's fine with you.
That would be perfect.
Okay. Let's look at John. John 6. Let's all look at John 6. Talking about the true bread. And we're going to use that as an intro. We're going to look at that as an intro for our communion. John 6, and read 32. Someone read 32 through 35. How does that read? Somebody got it? 6:32.
I have it.
Go ahead, Jim. Leah.
Yeshua therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses that gave you the bread out of heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread out of heaven."
Now, what is that talking about? Old and new. Old covenant, new covenant. New covenant is faith in him and his sacrifice, right? Anybody have any questions about that? That's okay. That's pretty clear. And the true shepherd, Micah 5:2. Are we called to be shepherds? Yes, sure. We certainly are. We've got a lot of little sheep running around in our families. Hopefully, if you're lucky enough to have a grandchild, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And we've got to be steadfast. We can't waver on things, can we, Mark? When somebody asks us a question, we don't want to say, well, it may be this or it may be that, and why don't you go look it up in the dictionary? No, that's not the way to do it. Micah 5:2, who's got that? Do you happen to have that, Mark?
Yes. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been told from of old, from everlasting."
And there's several references to go back, about Yahweh's ruling power and what he's going to do in the future, what he's doing today and what he's going to do in the future. And his being a true light, that's John 8. We'll just finish with John 8. John 8:12. "Because Satan is darkness." He wants to keep us in the dark. He doesn't want us to be lit up. He wants us to hide that little light under the bushel basket, or whatever type of analogy you might use. John 8:12, who might have it? Do you happen to have that, Zaina?
Yes. "Yeshua spoke to them again, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light, the light which gives life.'"
Praise God. Praise God, guys. You know what we're talking about here. I don't think there's much of a question as to who we should be following. And we're going to get in next week into what are we supposed to do with all of this? What is our responsibility? What's our response? What's our obligation? What's our responsibility?
Share.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Show the word and share the word.
And definitely. And we've got to remember the commandments. We cannot forget those commandments. They're basic. They're a foundation for our faith and for the way that we believe and the way that we live and the way that we should be teaching anybody that we have the contact with, and letting them know how we are. And we got to show that in our work and in our life. And I know you do. I know it's not easy. It's easy to talk about this, isn't it? It's easy to talk about this and to say, oh yeah, we know the answer. We know how to do it. We're doing it. And the end of it. No, it's an ongoing.
One of the hard parts for me is to change my thinking from what the scriptures really say to do and think as to what I've been taught, because there's so many pagan inserts. Mm. And I'm sorry, I have a hard time not celebrating Easter, and I have a hard time not celebrating Christmas, but I have chosen to follow Yahweh and Yeshua. Yep. And there's other things, you know, I try to sort out the truth because I want to please him and I want to stand for the truth.
Well, and it's kind of funny because had we wanted to celebrate Easter, I ended up in the emergency room with Easter.
I know.
You know, and I'm saying, it's
That's
another
right.
day. It's just another day.
We just got to make sure we call it what it is, and that's Resurrection Day.
Right.
We should celebrate that.
Right.
Yes, Zaina.
May I just add one word to the lies of Satan? To me, the most sickening lie came up in the 1960s when there was a great change in psychology and societal thinking and everything.
Yeah.
And this is the anecdote. Satan gathered all his demons and said, who is going to go into the world now, 1960s, to deceive the world?
Mm-hmm.
And one demon said, I'll go. What will you tell them? I'll tell them there is no God. And for a little while, people, oh, God is dead, you know. No, said Satan, they won't believe that for long. Another one, I'll go. What will you tell them? I'll tell them there is a God, but he's so far removed from the world, he doesn't care about this world anymore,
mm-hmm.
this planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
No, said Satan, I don't think they'll believe that for long. The sun rises, the seasons come, oh, God is obviously looking after the world. The third one said, I'll go, what will you tell them? I'll tell them there is a God, and he does care about the world. And, this is the sickening thing, he loves you so much, it doesn't matter what you do.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yes. That's right.
Because you brought that.
Do your own thing.
That's what's going on.
Just as the first Charlie Daniels song we heard, he was lamenting the fact that Christian denominations are essentially fighting each other instead of the enemy that he was talking about. In the second song we heard, we have to realize that we're not really here to duke it out with other Christians. We're in a market right here where people think it's okay to follow Krishna and follow Gandhi and follow Buddha. They may have had a grasp of the problem with human condition, but there was no evidence that any of those philosophers ever figured out the solution. And that's in Acts 4.
That's right.
This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none under other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So Yeshua is the only option. And just as we have to be gentle in letting people know about this truth, we still have to be adamant about it.
That's right.
That's our job.
And Jan, you had asked about denominations. And the only thing that I can say about that denominational thing is that I'm very sad about the traditional some of the traditional things that are perpetuated from the pagan traditions, right, and from the church, right, later on, that were not in the original church. So let us gather over here and have a little bit of a communion time. Well, let's pray for the coming week. Father Yahweh, thank you for bringing us together. As Mark said, we loved to get together and read the scripture, listen about how great you are and what great power you have. And we just pray that that power may surge through us for the rest of our lives. But we're concerned about today. Tomorrow will bring us problems. Forget about yesterday. And we know that your Holy Spirit will guide and direct if we submit, if we follow you in every respect. We love you, we trust you, and we look forward to what you have for us. You heard our prayer request today. I ask that you would listen and answer each one according to your will, according to your ability, and that is supernatural ability. Thank you, Lord, for that. We pray that each one will walk in peace throughout this coming week, and that we would have joy and be happy with what you provide for us. Be content in every circumstance. Praise your name. Amen.